Welcome to Movies, Movies, Movies on Mornings with Bridey Tanner, featuring Jack and Andre. FBI Radio.
That's right. It's that time of day, that time of the week where we get into all things film and cinema. And I still have a strepsil in my mouth.
So, let us do the talking.
Please, get into it, Jack and Andre.
So, we're going to start from the very top, Book of Genesis style. Stanley Kubrick has finally given away the ending to 2001 Space Odyssey. Oh, wait, it wasn't him so much. It was actually someone who found a paranormal documentary by Junichi Yao, who was a supernatural enthusiast, who actually interviewed Stanley Kubrick in the 70s or 80s when The Shining was happening. And he basically just asked him, hey, can you explain that ending to us in 2001? And Stanley gives it away. So you can now find this video online. It's a conversation between Junichi and Stanley where they just talk about the ending to the ever so cryptic 2001 Space Odyssey.
But I have promised the listeners that you will, in fact, reveal the ending. So what can you tell us?
Basically the end of the film, there's this man who ends up in this Chuck E. Cheese. I haven't finished the film. I'm so sorry. I'm the worst film lord. I'm joking. The actual ending is that this man gets locked in a room and he starts writing the first script of Scary Movie 1 and that's the ending, y'all.
It like basically ends up like the video game in Smiley Face that Anna Faris is playing. And for anyone who hasn't watched Smiley Face, she's playing like Zoo Tycoon. And I think it's like this ripoff that, like, what's that Kurt Vonnegut book?
The whole point of 2001
He's like in a zoo and aliens who like transcend time and space are monitoring him, and then they send him back as like a Superman baby, and then it's what's gonna happen.
One last thing. You just have to watch Smiley Face. Gregoraki.
Just watch Smiley Face. It's the 2001 of our generation.
In other news, sadly, we have lost a true genius filmmaker, Robbie Mueller, the master of light. Famous Danish, is that right, Jack? Cinematographer.
I don't know.
I shouldn't have asked that in the news section.
I only know his American movies.
Known for being a famous, famous cinematographer who shot for Wim Wenders, Lars von Trier, Jim Jarmusch, the Scary Movie films. He is well-renowned for being able to capture small moments and these tricks of light in very simple ways. Personally, my favorite text of his is Paris, Texas. Beautifully shot film. Jack, favorite Robbie Mueller film?
Maybe Repo Man.
Repo Man. No, excellent choice. I would have accepted Breaking the Waves as well, but...
True.
You know,
gorgeous.
Dogma is always controversial.
In more controversial news, Trace Lauzette and Jamie Clayton are slamming Scarlett Johansson, or ScarJo, for Rupert Sanders' new movie, Rub and Tug, which is about a trans man sex worker. ScarJo is... I mean, in my opinion, completely inappropriate to play this role. Mm. And she sent back this tweet after all of this controversy erupted that she was going to be playing a transgender man, saying, please direct all comments to the agents of... Who was it? It was...
Felicity Huffman, Jeffrey Tambor, and Jared Leto. Who've all famously portrayed trans characters and won awards for them. I think her main... Not her main issue, but everyone's issue with her is that so many actors, cis women actors, are playing trans people and winning awards.
And it's the second time that she's been in this kind of controversy. She was in, oh my God, what is going on with my brain today?
Ghost in the Shell,
which was like the whitewashing controversy of our generation.
And it's the same director as Ghost in the Shell. It's the second time that they are portraying a minority that they just don't represent.
Oh my God. And then also Nicholas Winding Refn, who's the director of Drive, has announced a free movie streaming site. And it's basically he had all of these movies that were his favorite movies that he got updated and digitized and transformed. And he didn't know what to do with them. So he decided to just make them free for everyone. There's these movies that I've never heard of called Night Tide, The Nest of the Cuckoo, The Burning Hell, Dale Berry's Scary Movie 2.
Four classic films from the 60s, 70s and 80s are going to be...
And 2001
are going to be made available for anyone who wants to watch them on Nicholas Winding Refn's free movie streaming site. We all love free movies.
Well, Film Lords Jack and Andre, thank you so much for getting me up to date on what's happening in movie news. When we come back, we're going to be hearing your two reviews. What films are you reviewing today?
Ooh,
we have The Gospel According to Andre.
I'll be doing that one. And Jack is going to lovingly review Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And we're also going to be talking to Indigenous filmmakers Laurie Branigan-Onato and Izzy Khan, both from Screen Australia. When we get to Sydney Spotlight, here's something from Sydney. It's Bachelor Pad. I'm an individual.
Reviews.
One review.
And then another review.
Two reviews.
Two reviews. Two reviews.
Two reviews.
Two reviews.
Right in the middle of movies, movies, movies. Here on a Monday morning, Jack and Andre give you two reviews. Which film lord is going first?
I'm going to go first. I'm reviewing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Take it away, Jack.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is another Marvel movie that really, 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 really wants to be your friend. Role model Paul Rudd is under house arrest, learning magic tricks when he, in a dream, looks into a mirror and becomes a young CGI Michelle Pfeiffer from, like, Gangster's Paradise era. After that, there's a lot of plot sprinkled with cute self-deprecating reaction shots with Paul Rudd and made-up quantum science words for what is essentially a pretty basic magic school bus concept of, like, things getting big and little. Ant-Man has a few sight gags that are really funny, like when Hot Wheels get really big, but essentially they're just trying to sell you toys, and I left kind of feeling nothing. The central story of the film, the romantic subplot, the supporting actors, the villain, all feels just totally satisfactory. But hey, I did go to the drive-in at Blacktown to see it, and sorry if you live out west and this is totally obvious to you, but I'd never been, and I didn't realise how much they had committed. There's like this ersatz 50s shtick, and it'll either have you wet or terrified, and I'm into both. It's just nice to curl up with your friends and watch a movie in your car and pretend you're a little ant in a shrunken car looking up at a giant laptop.
Very cute, Jack. The way you said totally satisfactory was so unhappy and unfulfilled, and I feel like that's kind of how you feel after this movie. I love Paul Rudd. I love
Honey. I had such high hopes.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Honey, this film shrunk my boner.
Yeah, well, there you go. In a word, shrunk my boner.
In a word, all you can eat.
All you can eat. In a word, tiny, teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny.
Andre, what are you going to be reviewing today?
I'm going to review The Gospel According to Andre, which is a documentary about Andre Leon Tully. So, let me just say, first up, there is nothing like seeing a true-to-its-subject documentary about a passionate personality. We've all seen a couple of them. They're great. They're always fun. Bill Cunningham, you know the drill. To say Andre Leon Tully, a fashion critic, writer, and icon, is a legend, is a true understatement. Having served up his considered fashion eye to such heavyweights as Warhol, Vintor at Interview Magazine and Vogue Magazine, Andre is currently the most noticeable and well-adored fashionista probably ever, to be honest. His documentary is a visual narrative that doesn't quite match his eccentricity due entirely to the fact that documentary filmmaking is a fly-swattingly dull and rigid form of filmmaking. The Gospel According to Andre may be a piece of normcore documentary. It's no Bloodlight and Bammy, but Andre's astonishing and passionate ascent to the throne of fashion is loving, energizing, and often very funny. Swipe left on documentaries, but swipe right on Andre. Jack, favorite line from the film Ready, Set, Go.
Oh, just when he has to congratulate Melania Trump.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
It's so brutal. That's, like, really had me when everything in him doesn't want to be watching because he loved Michelle and the whole film's about, like, the lead up to the election.
How about that part where he's talking to Karl Lagerfeld and he's like, Karl, don't be so low-key.
Oh, my God, and all of the stuff. Who's got the hard nipples?
Ugh, all of them. they all have hard nipples.
All these fashionistas like Tom Ford, everyone's got hard nipples and a cigarette and a like cup of iced coffee.
Especially Whoopi Goldberg.
And all her shoes.
All her shoes.
Jack, Andre, what do you give The Gospel According to Andre in a word?
Ugh, capital A, Andre.
Oh my God. Yeah, am I French yet?
Jack?
That's it. And my friend Chad.
You're on Mornings on FBI Radio. This is Movies, Movies, Movies. Those were your two reviews, and you can find them on Instagram at movies_movies_movies. Compiled and written down for you by Jack and Andre, our film lords. We're going to go to a track now and come back with Indigenous filmmakers Laurie Branigan O'Nato and Izzy Khan from Screen Australia. This is Rebel Yell with Next Exit to get us there. That's Rebel Yell with Next Exit. You're on FBI Radio. You're listening to Movies, Movies, Movies here on Mornings with Bridie Tenner. It's time to get into this.
Sydney Spotlight.
Jack and Andre, my film lords, love to bring me in very exciting and interesting guests here on Movies, Movies, Movies. And today is no different than usual. We are joined today by two Indigenous filmmakers, both who work at the at Screen Australia, Laurie Branigan O'Nato from the Development Associate Indigenous Department at Screen Australia, and Development and Investment Manager Izzy, Khan, thank you both so much for coming in today.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Jack, Andre, how did you first find out about these two filmmakers?
How did it come about, Laurie? We messaged you earlier in the year to come in and talk about your own experience as an Indigenous filmmaker and with Screen Australia.
Yeah.
But I can't even remember how it came about.
It was a call out that actually came to Screen Australia. So yeah. It was just something that came through our general email, and I thought it was a great opportunity to come and say hi.
Yeah, and such a pleasure to have you back, especially this week, which is NAIDOC week. Can you talk a little bit about the theme, Because of Her We Can, and what that means to you?
Yeah, I mean, being an Indigenous woman, it's quite the theme, and my whole career has been inspired by such amazing female Indigenous women working in the screen sector. I mean, a prime example is Penny Smollercomb, who's head of Indigenous now, and also the likes of Erica Glynn and Sally Riley, who've been in the department just championing Indigenous stories.
Izzy Khan, can you talk a little bit to that theme of this year's NAIDOC week,
sure.
Because of Her We Can?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is actually even the women in my own family, the ones that have sort of been the backbone of our lives and bent and not broken in the face of what life's thrown at them. But in the space of the sort of art of screen storytelling, I think we've got like some really incredible female filmmakers that we should all sort of aspire to emulate, because they're doing things that no one's done before, like sort of Rachel Perkins, Nikita Louie, Leah Purcell, to name a few, and then actresses like Miranda Tapsell, Deborah Malman, Shari Sebbins, and more recently, Madeline Madden. So I think it's about celebrating and acknowledging the women that hold our families together, but also are sort of pioneers of the arts sector, politics, academics, sport, commerce even. So
everything.
It's a celebration of that this week.
Oh my God, I know that it's not technically cinema, but I just saw Blackie Brown and it completely floored me and blew me away and was like the best movie I've seen all year.
Yep, Megan Wilding is fantastic, and I think she's a talent that we'll have to keep our eyes on coming forward.
Are we able to talk about maybe some funding, and I guess for any people who are emerging Indigenous filmmakers, can you guys maybe talk about where you work and how that can tie into people who want to get into film?
Sure. Izzy, I might get you to just jump over onto Laurie's mic if that's okay. We're just having a few technical issues here. Thank you.
No worries. So yeah, I mean, a lot of what the Indigenous Department does is about really finding that next crop of talent, the people who are going to be the next trailblazers, the next Rachel Perkins, the next Warwick Thorntons and all that. So we just wrapped on a whole bunch of initiatives. Most recently was the Short Blacks initiative, where we did a call out for ideas for short dramas. And we're going to announce who was selected for to go into development for that. But we're always looking for that new filmmaker, that new next person that's gonna emulate the ones that have come before us. And so those initiatives are targeted. You keep a lookout for those.
You can't announce any on air right now, can
no
you?
We can't, not yet.
Can we get some sort of hint as to
Well, it's a good mix of people. For one, it's there's some in there that have sort of are within on the radar of Screen Australia already, and then some really new fresh voices as well. So it's a really good mix of people that are going to go into development.
That all sounds super exciting, and people should just keep their eye out on the Screen Australia website. Yep. Maybe they can just keep in touch with what's happening on ABC iView to get their brains thinking. I just saw that Mystery Road has now become one of the most popular shows on ABC iView.
The most.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's crazy.
And directed by Rachel Perkins.
All episodes were directed by Rachel Perkins.
That's amazing.
And just speaking of the women that have come through the Indigenous Department before, Sally Riley, who works at ABC now, she's the head of TV, which is a huge like behemoth role in the industry, and her and Penny Smollercomb I think worked together quite well on making Mystery Road happen.
That's amazing. I just wanted to like ask one more question, which was, what has made you the most proud working in the Indigenous Department at Screen Australia? I know most of the Australian cinema that I've enjoyed over the last like a decade has been Indigenous cinema, like Warwick Thornton's work, Rachel Perkins' work. Yeah. Have there been any standout moments for you?
I guess for me, a really exciting part of working with Screen Australia's Indigenous department this year is that we're celebrating 25 years of existence. We're celebrating 25 years of survival in this department. And it's just been absolutely so inspiring to see the work that's come through in the past 25 years. And seeing that celebrated is something that's truly inspiring as an Indigenous filmmaker and hopeful practitioner in the future. And it's really exciting. And I encourage everyone who is Indigenous and interested in the film industry to contact us. We're always, always happy to hear from you.
That's amazing. Are there any NAIDOC Week screening specials that anyone's aware of that people can get along to this week?
I'm not fully. I think there's one on. There'll be ones on iView and NITV, so keep a lookout for those broadcasters.
Yeah, ABC and SBS and NITV have some NAIDOC guides, so you can just jump on their websites and there'll be lots of screenings. We're heading to one in Cairns this weekend at the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, so you can see some shorts there if you're from Cairns.
Anyone listening from Cairns, that one's for you. Thank you so much to our guests today, Izzy Khan and Laurie Brennigan Onato from Screen Australia, for coming in today for our NAIDOC Week special of Sydney Spotlight here on Movies, Movies, Movies. And to Jack and Andre, our regular film lords, I'll be back next week. You're listening to FBI Radio.
This podcast is produced by FBI Radio in Sydney. Find more at fbiradio.com/podcasts.